In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, on this day, Holy Mother Church gives us a special feast dedicated to the holy name of Jesus. Our Lord's name is holy because it was a name given by God, and it is a name, one of the names of God. The name was given to Our Lady by the angel, as you know. On the day of the Annunciation, Our Lady was told that she was to give this name to her son. The name was also given to Saint Joseph by an angel. He was having a dream. He was wondering how to deal with the situation that his espoused wife was found with child. And the angel came and told him that the child was of God and that he was to name the child Jesus when the child would be brought forth. We think that the angels knew the name of our Lord because of the fact that our Lord had already existed. We may say this name of our Lord is, as it were, from eternity. This name, as such, was not so much imposed upon our Lord as identifying our Lord. It is the name of a role. It is the name of the work for which our Lord came onto this earth. The name Jesus means Savior. We can think of more common terms of rescuer, a rescuer. Our Lord is the rescuer of the human race. You know, there's many people who do rescue work. But our Lord does a rescue work in a very special role that belongs only to Him. He alone is the God-man. He alone is the one who can truly save us from death. You may have a surgeon who will save you from physical death at the present moment, but you're still going to die. But our Lord saves us from eternal death, and He's the only one who can do so. There is no one else. There is no other name under heaven by which we are saved but the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why it is an honor for us to serve Him. Think if there was only one surgeon in the whole world who was to save people through the work of surgery, it would be an incredible honor to say, I work for Him. He's my boss. I serve Him. It's my job to assist Him. And this is the case with our Lord. He is the only Savior. So it's an honor for us to defend His name. And it is important for us to understand the implications of this truth. And that is, if we do not have our Lord, we are totally and utterly lost. Our Lord is everything. We cannot be saved without our Lord. Our Lord, He teaches us the truths that we need to know. He teaches us how to live our life. He gives us the strength to live properly and to pursue our true happiness through the grace that He gives to our souls, through this sanctifying grace, through His own life inside of our own souls, and by nourishing us with His own life. This is why our Lord speaks to us. He speaks to us very clearly about this. There's so many paradoxes in the gospel, but one of them is when He says the following: He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that shall lose his life for me shall find it. And just before that, some words that may seem even more striking, startling, even harsh. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that takes not up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. This is the honor of these holy name men. This is our honor as Catholics to serve our Lord Jesus Christ, not to serve ourselves in this life, but to serve God, to serve our Creator, to serve our Redeemer, our Savior, to serve the God-man, to give our lives to Him, and subordinate all other things to Him. As our world drifts farther and farther away from our Lord, we have this truth of the necessity of our Lord being played out for us day after day. We see a world that is trying to substitute itself as God, in place of our Lord. Instead of choosing, okay, I will submit to our Lord and serve our Lord, they say, well, what if I'm God? Let's try to be God myself. And so you have different expressions, different phrases you use to describe this phenomenon of this new way of living life. One of them is networked individualism. Sociologists looking at the way people live their lives today, and they say, well, people are living their lives according to a networked individualism. And what this tries to express in a short phrase is that people today tend to only interact with people insofar as they need them to pursue their personal goals. They're not looking to establish a relationship with someone where they give themselves over in an act of sacrificial love to this person and commit themselves to that person, but rather they network with that person. There's a sort of contractual agreement that they engage with other people where, okay, I need you for something, you need me for something, you scratch my back, I scratch your back, and then that's it. That's the extent of our interaction. Another phrase that is used is relational autonomy. Relational autonomy. You have a certain relationship or connection with people, but you remain autonomous. You always carefully guard your own autonomy. And so you never bind yourself to any long-term goal. You never bind yourself or commit yourself to any person, so that you always remain free at any moment to do whatever you want to do to pursue your own personal goals. It's a certain systematized selfishness. And unfortunately, our society, as they say, rejecting God, is really fostering this attempt at self-deification, where you just live for your own purposes instead of living for something higher than you. We know the various laws that have been passed in the past 50 years. For instance, the law legalizing birth control, which used to be illegal, which says to people, look, you don't have to have any higher purpose than your own pleasure when you have sexual relations. Or the law legalizing abortion says to people, well, if you conceive a child, then and this child is an obstacle to your own personal goals, to your own career or whatever, well, then you can kill it. You can kill your own child because your personal goals are more important than loving and caring for this child. No-fault divorce, which effectively completely empties the marriage vows. It makes the marriage vows totally irrelevant when people are told, look, you are saying right now that you are committing yourself to this person for life. But we of the state, we say to you, if you decide at any point, for any reason whatsoever, that you do not want to stay true to this commitment, you just come in and tell us, and we're going to sign your divorce papers right there. Nothing else is needed. You don't even need a reason to come in and get divorced. Which, as I say, just makes marriage meaningless. It's not really a contract or a union anymore. You can get out for no reason whatsoever. And then, of course, same-sex marriage, which pretends to be able to define marriage as whatever you want it to be. If you define reality, you define what constitutes a family and redefine it. So if marriage can be defined by any individual, then, and again, it's everything and it's nothing. It's lost all of its meaning. As I say, these laws are an attempt to enable people to remain autonomous even when they commit themselves. When they apparently commit themselves, in fact, they still remain autonomous. They still remain free. They always have an out if they need it, if they get this impulse. So people today are trying to live autonomous lives, completely autonomous lives. They live their lives. They grow old without making major commitments. They live in contact with people without loving them, without sacrificing themselves for them, without losing their lives for them. My dear faithful, this is nothing less than the death of society. There is no society that can survive on this kind of model of lifestyle. And this is why it's such an honor for us to have here at St. Isidore's the Holy Name Society, precisely by which our men, the men of our parish, want to make a public act of adherence, commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ, to their God, to their Savior, and say that I serve him. I live not for myself, but I live for him. And they bind themselves to certain obligations that when they fulfill, they live out this commitment to serve our Lord. There are 11 obligations, but I'm going to mention 4 of them. First, to labor for the glory of God's name and to make it known to those who are ignorant of it. Secondly, to induce their neighbors to refrain from all insults against God and his saints and from profane and unbecoming language. 3, to do all they can to induce their dependents to sanctify the Sunday. And then fourthly, to communicate as a body on the Feast of the Holy Name today and on the regular Communion Sundays, second Sunday of the month, here at St. Isidore's. Effectively, this confraternity, this Holy Name Society, is a way for our men to commit themselves to our Lord Jesus Christ, and especially in the public sphere, to stand up for his name, to represent him in the public sphere. And when they hear him being spoken against, to defend his name. It initially, the Holy Name Society has been around for a long time, but really took off in the United States about 100 years ago when Catholic men were saying we need to do something in light of the progressive degradation of morals in society in the early 1900s. And they saw this Holy Name Society as a way of mobilizing Catholic men and getting them out in the public sphere and, as I say, defending the rights of our Lord Jesus Christ and his church. They conducted parades and public rallies, and they fought against blasphemous speech, public indecency, bad movies, attacks on the Catholic Church. Even Babe Ruth was a member. There was an interview with Babe Ruth, and he was asked about it, and he said, "Yes, I'm a member of the Holy Name Society, and I make sure to make my communion with the Holy Name members every second Sunday of the month." So today, it's an honor for our traditional Catholic men to live a life dedicated to our Lord, precisely because they stand out more than they would have in the past. Anyone seeing you in the public sphere when you're living a life dedicated to our Lord, when you're serving our Lord in his life, they're going to notice. They're going to remark that just because it's such in a contrast with the life of relational autonomy. When they are committed to their families, they're first of all committed to our Lord Jesus Christ, and through that they're able to make the major commitments of their life, commitment to their family, commitment to taking care of the children that God gives them, devout in their Catholicism. And you know, people may say, okay, so what religion are you? Sorry, how many children do you have? How many times have you been married? You only have one wife, and you have all those children. Like, what are you thinking? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Because I'm a Catholic. Because this is the way God wants us to live our life. Because this is the way in which I'm ultimately fulfilled. Compare the fulfillment that I have through this life as a Catholic man to this life of just being autonomous, doing your own thing, having no family, having no future, having no meaning. There's a statistic that came out recently about about Gen Z. And it seems like the young men of Gen Z, this happens rarely in history because women are naturally more devout than men, but the young men of Gen Z, it seems, are practicing more religion more than the women of Gen Z. And this is because the young men today are looking for something. The society is not offering them any meaningful future, any real meaning in their life. So they're looking for something. And religion precisely provides that. Our true Catholic faith, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, provides real meaning to our life. He saves us from ourselves if we give ourselves to Him. And so when they see men who are good, who are competent and religious at the same time, they are attracted to it. So you men, just by living this Catholic life in the 21st century, 2025, you set an incredible example to those who are around you. The good, reflective young men of today, they want a life that proposes a higher goal to them, a noble goal that they can pursue, not this pleasure-seeking life that has no legacy to it, where they leave nothing behind. So we have to understand that good Catholic men in today's society, they're not only preserving the Catholic faith, they're preserving civilization. Civilization is crumbling. And unless there are men who are going to seek to save it by giving their life to a true Catholic life, then there will be nothing left. So we welcome these new members into the Holy Name Society. It's a grace for our parish, as they say, to have these men who are not ashamed to publicly profess their belief in our Lord Jesus Christ, their adherence to Him, and to thereby truly to be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.